Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Ramon Ray is here, too, because he's our good buddy. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, one of the smartest guys I know, especially when it comes to technology, especially when we're talking technology and small business. He actually is a self-described technology evangelist. I like that. I like the way he says that. He's the author of lots and lots of articles on the topic. He's the author of an outstanding book called Technology Solutions for Growing Businesses, and he's our good friend. Ramon, welcome back to the show.
I feel like blushing, Jim, but thank you very much.
It's good to have you back, as always. Hey, Ramon, I know you got some things on your mind, but before we get to those, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What's up with all this new spam we're getting?
It's horrendous, and I think...
And we can't do anything about it, can we?
No, you can't. There's nothing you can do about it.
I mean, the new stuff is coming in as TIFFs or GIFs or PIFs or something, and the filters won't catch it, will it?
No, I received the same email myself, and I've been surprised that I can't even block out images because it's hidden so deeply.
Yeah.
It's a bad thing. It's getting more and more.
It's a form of terrorism, isn't it? I don't want to minimize the thing that when people get killed,
right,
but I mean,
right.
if terrorism is creating chaos,
right.
This is a form of technological terrorism.
Exactly. No, I agree with you 100%. 100%. No, it's maddening. The same thing comes in my email box. The other thing, Jim, is that it reduces productivity.
My point. Yeah.
It costs money, reduces productivity, and it's a security pitfall.
That's right.
Because a lot of people don't know.
Oh boy, you get all kinds of Trojans and all kinds of worms and squirms and everything else in through all this stuff, don't you?
The only way to prevent it, I think, is we should go back to letter writing and faxes.
Yeah, well, I don't want to do that. But you know, I have this recurring fantasy dream, Ramon. Don't worry, it's not going to get too wild. But I'm in the middle of Madison Square Garden or the Superdome or some huge building where there are like 100,000 people,
mm-hmm.
and they're all lined up in this thing, and they're waiting on an event, and I find a spammer in the crowd,
okay.
and I take that person out to the middle of the room, and I say, ladies and gentlemen, this man is a spammer. He sent hundreds of billions of spam to each and every one of you over the last 10 years, and then I'd run like heck, because they're going to take this guy apart piece by piece.
Hopefully we can make it come true, Jim.
Wouldn't you like to see what people would do if you had? I mean, I would. If I met a spammer, I think I would be prone to violence.
I would love to see it, but I think for every one of those we catch, there's going to be 1,000 more out there, unfortunately.
And they're all over the world, aren't they?
Yep, absolutely.
So what
absolutely.
Do we do?
I think the thing is, Jim, one thing I've done, seriously speaking, though, is I put filters up. It doesn't block everything, but I know a lot of small businesses have their domains open, you know, things like anything@mydomain.com.
Yeah.
If you shut that down and only have those that you need, you will reduce a lot of your spam. Some businesses can't do it, but that's one solution.
Well, just like me, I mean, I've got my emails been out there for you know, 10 years now.
Exactly.
So what do I do? I mean, people have if I diverted my mail, I don't know how I would do that.
One thing you could do also, though, is have an auto reply that says, my email has changed, it's now this. And many of the spam you receive is automated, so they will reject what you send back to them.
Hmm.
One minor solution. It's not going to help with everything, though.
Well, but also, I get some of those, and I kind of, sometimes I don't always follow up on it like I should.
You're right. And especially if you want to make sales.
Or sometimes it gets in the filter. It goes in the filter, and they don't even see it.
No, of course. And if you want to make sales, of course, doing that you may lose a sale, because as you said, not everybody's going to reply and take the time to follow up with where you're at.
Is the key to evil, to fighting evil technology, good technology?
It's a help, yes. But as you said, Jim, with spam, I don't think there's any solution. People try as best they can, but it's going to be with us for the long haul, unfortunately.
Yeah. Because most of the spam is not even coming from the U.S. anymore, is it?
No, a lot of it comes from Nigeria. I get a lot of spam that says, you know, I have millions of dollars and my prince or my cousin gave me. A lot of it comes from many Eastern European countries.
Russia and
exactly.
China and places like that.
Absolutely. Slovenia and et cetera.
Yeah.
Because it's cheap, Jim. As you know, you send a billion emails. All you need is a few clicks, and
right.
You've made your money for the day.
Right. And the people who are the most at risk are the newbies, right?
Absolutely. Jim, that happens to me a lot. Not to me personally, but people say, Ramon, I received an email about my mortgage. I received an email saying my PayPal account was down. What
right.
should I do? Do you have a PayPal account? Do you have a mortgage?
But they did click on it, though, didn't they?
Exactly. Just to see.
Yeah.
And even pornography is a big one. I mean, you know, coming into your email box.
Yeah, yeah. At least they don't send the pictures anymore. They stopped that part. All right, stand by. Ramon Ray is our guest. We got more. He's going to give us some more good advice on our technology for our small businesses right after these messages. It's 20 Till. By the way, he's the author of Technology Solutions for Growing Businesses. Little bit of Steely Dan for you there. A little Steely Dan every day will keep the doctor away. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Ramon Ray is our guest, and he's our good friend, the author of Technology Solutions for Growing Businesses, one of the smartest guys I know especially when it comes to small business technology. Ramon, give us your website, please.
Thank you, Jim. Smallbiztechnology.com. Smallbiztechnology.com.
B-I-Z.
That's right.
Technology.com. Now, and by the way, folks, many of you have seen Ramon's articles in many publications around the country. He's very well written, highly written, and well read. Ramon, I have a IBM ThinkPad.
Yep.
And the operating system on that IBM ThinkPad is Windows XP Professional.
Right.
2004 or 2005 or
right.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Vista is the new operating system, right? From
correct.
From Microsoft.
Exactly.
And now today, it's my understanding that currently, unless you're a business customer, meaning you buy it in bulk, those are the only people who can get Vista right now.
That's correct. Unless you go to one of your local retailers, there's a new program Microsoft has to do that. But you're right.
So what's the next step for Vista?
The next step, I think, is that in January, I think it's the end of January, beginning of February, it'll be launched to everyone so that if you're a small business or big business, you can go to your local store, online retailer, and buy it like that, like you would any software product.
How much?
The cost is going to be usually from about $99 to about $200, give or take. It depends on if you're upgrading, how many licenses you have, but it varies.
So if I've got let's say I've got five computers in my office.
Right.
Is it going to cost me $99 a pop to upgrade each one of those?
Well, if it is, if you are part of Microsoft's licensing program, then it's going to be a lot cheaper for you, and that's the way that kind of Microsoft hooks you in
so
to make sure you.
So you probably should try to do that, shouldn't you?
Right. Exactly. And if you Microsoft.com/licensing, I think you can have all the information you want on there. But the
right.
key question, I think, Jim, is also should people even upgrade? I think in your case, let's say, because you may be the typical
small
business
example.
My XP
works just fine.
And I don't think you should upgrade. I really don't think you should.
Yeah,
if you have
I mean,
XP,
I like,
fine.
As far as I'm concerned, let me put it this way. I'm going to knock wood here, but my XP and my ThinkPad are highly compatible. I don't have any complaints. It doesn't crash. It doesn't lock up. It works.
Correct. And I think you're in the same scenario that I am and others. I think Vista, though, is for, not for those of us who have the operating system that they like already, but probably when you buy your new PC, you're going to have Vista built in already.
The next PC you're going to get is going to have Vista on it, isn't it?
Exactly.
So how much? What's the difference? How will I? You know, some people work off of two different computers. There was a lot for a long time. I did.
Sure.
And so, what's it going to be like working off of two different operating systems?
I think there's two things that people are going to find in a huge way. That one, the interface, as you know, is going to be changed a lot. It's going to be more Mac-ish, if you will. Some of the fancy features that Mac users have already had. When you click buttons, you see through windows.
Which I had for 20 years.
Wow, I didn't know you.
I was a Mac user for 20 years. Yeah.
And the second thing, I think, Jim, is the security is going to be a lot more enhanced. Some people are debating whether it's the security is enhanced as much as it locked down, which is a difference. But those are
yeah, you know, sometimes things. Security gets in the way of productivity, doesn't it?
Correct, correct.
Is that what you're saying?
No, that's exactly what I'm saying, and I think that's the challenge, though. We were talking about spam earlier. You know, the companies have to play with, do we lock it down and get in the way of users, or do we leave things open and have it possibly also open to hackers, which is a big challenge.
I bought an upgrade of a security system from one of the primary companies, mm-hmm. one of the leading companies, and the new version, I thought I was just going to get better protection.
Right.
What I got was less usability.
Exactly.
What I got was they almost put me out of business.
Yeah. Wow.
And I couldn't and to modify it so that I could get back to where I was so complicated. I trashed it and found another company that didn't do that to me.
And that you may find the same thing, Jim, in Windows Vista. Unfortunately, a lot of users are saying that there's two camps, that when you use Vista, that you get a lot of pop-ups, you know, asking you, do you want to do this?
Oh,
do you
no.
want to do that? However, the good thing is that if you want to, you can turn a lot of this off. But out of the box, it's going to be a pretty locked down operating system.
Mm-hmm.
So you may your dream may come true again.
But see, my XP operating system with a good security system, I don't have any problems.
Correct. I agree. Same with me. I think Windows Vista, though, Jim, is probably also for a lot of the users who don't know and who don't have security yet.
Right.
And we have to
say so maybe it'll be good for grandma when she logs on the first time to be able to send IM pictures to grandkids.
Correct.
It'll be good for grandma, maybe.
However, grandma will probably be confused by a lot of the pop-up spam and websites that are coming
yeah.
up in front of her as well. So it's kind of confusing. The other thing, though, Jim, I think is also the usability. It's not just the security, but things like being able to search better.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the Google Desktop and other things people can download for free. So that's another challenge Microsoft will have is, you know, a lot of the tools that are in Vista are already out for free.
Hmm.
So that's another thing they'll have to deal with.
What about alternative systems, alternative operating systems?
Absolutely, Jim. I mean, I think that, of course, we already talked about Mac, which many of the ardent Mac fans are saying that it's, you know, that we've had this for years.
One of the new Macs are becoming cross-platform.
Correct. Exactly.
And they've got the PC, and they work with PCs too.
Absolutely, and that's going to be a challenge as well. So I think in the end of the day, I think it's what works best for you, and I think that's what small businesses should be.
What are
by.
Some of the other operating systems out there besides Mac?
Yeah, besides Mac, the other major one, Jim, is Linux.
Yeah.
And Linux is people have touted as a free operating system.
That's the
it
open
is.
Source.
Exactly. You can download it and install it on any hardware you
but
want.
That,
and use
that
it.
Typically takes a little higher degree of capability.
It does.
Doesn't
correct.
It? For, I mean, the average person out there who just wants to buy a computer is not going to be all that good at Linux, are they?
No, they should stick to Windows.
Yeah, I agree. Stick to Windows. Exactly. Stand by. Tintail. We're going to be right back with our good friend Ramon Ray. He's the author of Technology Solutions for Growing Businesses. It's available wherever books are sold. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and visiting with our good friend Ramon Ray, an outstanding member of our Brain Trust. Ramon, give us your website one more time, please.
Thank you, Jim. Smallbiztechnology.com. That's B-I-Z as in zebra. Smallbiztechnology.com.
And, folks, I really encourage you to check out his website. It's outstanding. Good stuff there. You'll find lots of important information that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. I always like telling people about your site, Ramon.
Thank you, Jim.
And of course, look for his book, folks, Technology Solutions for Growing Businesses. Ramon. Back just quickly before we go,
sure.
before we leave Vista, if I choose not to go to upgrade to Vista,
right.
how long do you think I can hold on to XP before the compatibility with new technologies, new software starts to get me, I start getting behind?
My honest opinion is about a year. Assuming you have a new computer and you bought it a year or two ago, I would say hold on to it for a good year or two. I don't upgrade my technology more than 3 or 4, sometimes 5 years.
Yeah.
The key is your hardware is the big thing. If you have a lot of memory and a lot of hard disk space,
right.
it can last for a pretty long time.
Well, and the good thing about it is that that if you wait a little while, they'll get the bugs out of it, and there'll be more people will know more about it. And
correct.
Maybe
never
you'll even,
buy
have a chance to use someone else's and get used to it a little bit.
Right, and two more things. One, never buy the first version of a product, in my opinion. Wait for the download. And the second thing that just hit me, you said you had a an IBM ThinkPad. Keep in mind that many of the hardware manufacturers have huge security built into their hardware.
Right.
I'm using an IBM product myself, and I have a fingerprint reader.
Right.
A fingerprint reader. And so I realized that, you know, even though Vista has security, a lot of the hardware you're buying has some advanced security built in. So it just came to my mind.
Ramon, what do you think, if a small business owner called you up and said, Ramon, we've got a website, we've got an e-commerce component on our website, we have an email newsletter, we're reaching out and touching our customers by email, we're not waiting on them to come to us, we're sending them stuff, mm-hmm. but I want to make sure, and they said to you, I want to make sure that we're, you know, not on the bleeding edge of where things are going with regard to our online strategy, but we're on the leading edge. What would you tell them to do next?
I would say two things. I would say, one, take your email newsletter and try to develop the content more frequently. Assume maybe it's once a month. If it's only once a month, try to develop it a little more frequently, once a week, and turn it into a blog. That's one. So post content, meaning on a website, if you will, but via a blog system. And from that blog, you can produce an RSS feed, which stands for really simple syndication. And that way, you'll bypass a lot of the email filters, spam filters, and et cetera, mm-hmm. and push the content directly to your customers.
Which is one of the reasons, pushing content to customers is Web 2.0. Isn't it?
Absolutely.
As opposed to saying, here it is, come get it.
Correct. Correctly. They
That's
can get
the opposite.
It when they want it.
Web 1.0, the original stuff, folks, was where they came to see you because it was so exciting. Now they're kind of bored with the whole thing, and they're saying, look, I'm going to stay home. If you got something you want me to see, send it to me.
Exactly. And it's almost like you can be channeled.
Here's permission to do that.
Correct. And what's interesting, even for retailers, Jim, I was looking at a new service that even for retailers, you can have an RSS feed tagged to your product. So if a customer's not ready to buy that mattress, that gallon of milk, that mouse pad now, they can subscribe to an RSS feed and be pushed the information when they want, how they want it.
Mm-hmm. Which is one of the reasons why, even though I have an electronic newsletter, an email newsletter, as you mm-hmm. know, just as you do, it's one of the reasons why I believe when RSS gets more diffused in the marketplace, it eventually, I'm not saying tomorrow, but eventually, I believe will be the thing that replaces email marketing.
I think eventually, yes, I agree with you. I think that just like
because it's how we'll avoid the spam.
Correct. And also, though, Jim, it's more manageable. I prefer to receive the RSS feeds now because I have one place to go to,
right.
as opposed to email. It clogs my inbox.
If I didn't know anything about RSS, and a lot of people don't, could I find out more about it on your website?
Absolutely. If you Google
Have you got
the word
some articles
RSS,
on that?
Absolutely. You Google the word RSS, you'll find a lot of articles on RSS feeds. And also, of course, if you just go to the main website itself, you know, google.com, you can
right.
find information. But on my
Folks,
website, absolutely.
Think about it this way. If you get a lot of junk mail, that's like spam.
Correct.
But if you get a publication or something that you've subscribed to and you're looking forward to receiving it, that's RSS.
Correct.
Let's call it special delivery. Because you know, people subscribe to my newsletter.
Right.
But it comes with all the other stuff.
That's correct.
That's one of the challenges of electronic newsletter.
And I would still add also, don't get rid of newsletters, though. They're still around. They're still valuable.
Oh, no. We're going to keep ours. It's a viable option, a viable way of getting content and reaching out to folks. But I do think that it will one day it will change. Hey, thanks, Ramon, for being here. Good job.
Absolutely.
Today.
Thank you, Jim.
Have a good holiday.
You too.
Ramon Ray, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.